All right, good morning. We're beginning a new series today entitled Flow, and the idea is that we could experience the joyful generosity of God, that we would have the freedom to have this kind of unquenchable joy in our lives that would flow from God to us and through us. Now, let me tell you what we're not talking about. We're not talking about going with the flow. Going with the flow is just the idea of just going where the culture is taking us, right? That's not what we're talking about today, so let's get that out of the way. That's not what this is about. It's not about going with the flow. If anything, it's about going against the flow that, in terms of that. And so we're talking about this flow that comes from God to us, first of all, and then through us. And those of you that have been on the journey with us for a few years, you've heard me talk about this many times. And it's something that came to me really through a season where I was struggling and I was afraid that I was not going to make it, you know, that I was going to not have enough, you know, financially or strength-wise or whatever, just a season like that. And to understand where I come from is, I've told you before, my father died when I was 8 years old, and we had a lot of financial struggles growing up. And you, if you grow up like that, you'll have a sense to try to control things. You want to hang on to things. You're afraid you won't have enough, and you'll close down. And so when I talk about flow, I'm really talking about being open in two directions. One is open to God, and so you've seen me do this through the years, and this hand is just like a metaphor saying that I'm open to God, that I want all that I want His calling, I want everything that He has for me, and that's that vertical relationship. And then the other is a horizontal one. I'm open to let what God has given me flow to others like that. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing for me, and here's the thing I think for a lot of Christians today. You're sort of getting this right. You've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You understand some things about that. But you can dam up the flow of God's joy and generosity and love and everything He has for you in two places. One is, and this is some of you today, you can shake your fist at God, and it won't even come to you. You're bitter. You're angry at Him about something. Something didn't go the way you planned. Or there was a loss in your life, a death, a divorce, a disease, something, a failure. And you're, boy, God, I don't know if you're there, but if you are, I'm mad at you. And so obviously the joy and satisfaction and fulfillment's not going to flow to you because you've dammed it up upstream. Tracking with me? But here's the place that will surprise many of you today, and this is where a lot of churchgoers are today. They kind of get this. They don't keep it open all the time, but when they're in trouble, they open it. But they're afraid they won't have enough for themselves, and they close this one, and they hoard it. They think church is for them. They think everything's for them. And maybe it's because they grew up like I did, that you're afraid you won't have enough, like that. So that's what I'm talking about. And a passage that informs this, this is just a little series. We're going to do 3 weeks talking about this. So this is kind of the kickoff for the next couple of weeks. I thought it was perfect going into Thanksgiving to really talk about what that means, to let the Thanksgiving of God flow through us. But here's a passage that really informs this little three-week series. It's found in John. Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow." Underline that word flow, because that's what's driving this series. Rivers of living water. Here's what he says. Are you thirsty? Drink. And out of you will flow rivers of living water. Are you thirsty for whatever? Where are you in trouble? Financially, physically, relationally, spiritually, all that. Are you thirsty? Drink. Believe. Open. And then out of you will flow this life like that. Now, as I've been reading about this, you know, I start thinking I'm smart sometimes. Doesn't usually last very long. Somebody in here usually reminds me, or I figure it out on my own, but I was looking this word up. This was a few years ago. I was looking this word up, and I was like, I think I'm onto something. This idea of flow, it's this thing, you know, that could change everybody's life as Christians if they could just get it. And I looked it up, and I found out there's this psychologist who's already, like, claimed the word. And it's a description of a phenomenon in psychology. And so I started studying about this. The guy, Dr. Csikszentmihalyi, a professor of psychology at the University of Chicago. He's the originator of the psychology of flow. And he's devoted his life's work to trying to discover what it is that makes people happy and satisfied and fulfilled. And he started studying this really before he became a psychologist because he grew up during World War II in Germany, and he saw people lose everything. But then he saw some people that stayed happy even though they didn't have material success. And he started noticing that once people's basic needs are met, once they have, you know, a roof over their head and some clothing and some food, that they come to a level of happiness that even if you keep stacking wealth, they don't get any happier. In other words, how much they had didn't cause them to get any happier than this base level. But he also discovered people who had meaning in their life, that they were doing something that was meaningful to them, and that they were doing it with all that they had, all their essence, that their happiness quotient went up. And he called this state flow. It's like, well, he describes it in his book, Finding Flow. And this is not the waitress at that restaurant we're talking about. Some of you are like, what in the world? I'm sorry, I've preached once already this morning, so this happens sometimes. Here's what he said. The professor describes this as being completely involved in an act for its own sake. The ego falls away, time flies, every action, movement, and thought follows inevitably from the previous one, like playing jazz. Your whole being is involved, and you're using your skills to the utmost. So the athlete might call this being in the zone. It's like time slows down and the hoop gets bigger and the ball gets smaller. It's just like everything I shoot, it's nothing but net. Now, that never happened to me, but I heard people describe that happened to them. Maybe some people call it working out of your sweet spot. So this is what he's talking about. He says happiness increases when we're most engaged in something that is meaningful in life. Now, I think he's a genius. He's on to something. But I think he misses the full potential of this. He's on to something. What he's saying is, what he's observed is, that when people do something that requires all of their being, that they lose themselves in the task to the point to where they have almost like an out-of-body experience of joy. The person who's a musician, or a person who's an artist, or a chef, or someone who takes care of others, whatever it is they're shaped for, they find such meaning in that moment. He's on to something, but here's the part he doesn't talk about. The one who made us that way. God is the creator, and he made us all with a shape, a certain type of giftedness, so that when we connect to him and then we do the thing he told us to do, there's a joy that flows through us for being and doing the thing he made us for. So he gets part of it because he sees it, but he misses the most significant part, and that's the part of this river that flows from Jesus to us and through us. Do you know this joy? Do you know this satisfaction of being what God made you to be and living it out? That's what we want to talk about. Because in the book of Matthew, Jesus called his disciples to freely give away what he had freely given them. He commissions them, go out and give away what I have given you. And I believe today that we can let it flow just like they did. And we can know and experience the joy, the unquenchable satisfaction of Jesus in our lives. So let's look at Matthew chapter 10, and let's just unpack this together, and we'll talk about four ways that we can have, four steps that we can take towards having this flow of God's generosity flowing through our lives. Let's look at the text, verse 1 of chapter 10. He called his disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. And may God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Let's unpack this. Let's look at these four letters. We're going to spell the word flow and talk about how to let the joyful generosity of God flow through us today. Here's the F. Freely receive. Freely receive God's calling and provision. Open your hand, open your heart to God, freely receive. So let's look at it. Let's look at verse 1. It says, he called his 12 disciples. You see that word called? Literally, in the Greek language, it means having already called. So here's the thing, here's the background to this whole story. If you want to experience the kind of flow that I'm talking about, you first have to say yes to the call of Jesus. Now, who does Jesus call? He calls everyone in this room. He calls. So the first action we take is to respond to the call. Have you received the call of Jesus? First of all, he calls you to himself. So it says he called his 12 disciples, literally having already called them to come follow me. He then sent them out, but he first called them to himself. Have you answered that call? Have you said yes to Jesus? You see, because this is the beginning of what this means. In order to experience this kind of meaning in your life, you first have to answer the call. Now, someone would observe and say, well, Gary, we know you're called. You tell us all the time that you're called. And the reason I tell you is because I'm telling myself, because that's the place the evil one will attack you. He'll say you're not called. But I'm not the only one called. You're called. We're all called to be followers, disciples of Jesus. And so it says that they were called. First of all, called to himself and then sent. And then it says he gave them authority. See that in verse 1? He gave them. So he calls them to himself freely. He calls them. And then he gives them authority. The Greek word exousion. The word ex is where we get the word exit. It means out. X means out. And so out of Jesus comes power and authority, delegated, not from our own, but from him, delegated authority to go and do the things on planet Earth that he did. To be the body of Christ, the hands, the feet, the voice, the touch of Jesus. So when he calls you to himself, he doesn't just call you to sit and soak in a holy hot tub. Ooh, it's so good being saved, just soaking in. No, that's not the deal. That's not it. That might be someone's version of the gospel, but that's not the one I see in the scripture. Jesus calls them to himself so that he might send them out. And he says this, verse 8 again. Look at verse 8. Freely you have received my calling, my authority, all that I give you. Freely give it out. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Both hands open, living the life of the open hand. Open to God and open to others so that the life of God flows through you like a river. Like that. freely receive God's calling and God's provision. Freely, it has the idea of as a free gift without payment, unearned. The only requirement is to open your hand, your heart, your eyes, yourself. Revelation 3:20, Jesus speaking, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." He's knocking right now. He's speaking right now, and he's calling you, first of all, to himself. And then those he calls to himself, he immediately sends. John 4:14 says, "No one," this is Jesus speaking, "no one who drinks the water I give will ever be thirsty again. The water I give is like a flowing fountain." John 16:24, he says, "Until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Ask. Open. Freely receive it. And this is the F, the first step. Here's the L. Listen constantly for God's direction. Listen constantly for God's direction. Look at verses 5 and 6. I guess I should note, because verses 2 through 4, it's a list of the 12 disciples. Okay? And I should just mention, he knew their names. And he gave them extra names. He gave them like nicknames. You know, like, "Simon, I'm going to call you the Rock. I'm going to call you Peter. The Rock." And then, you know, there's two Jameses. So there's two Simons. So he called one of the Simons the Rock. And then there was another James. And he called him one of the sons of thunder because apparently he had a temper, him and John. "You guys are the sons of thunder. You guys got a temper problem." But they all had names like, you know, the other Simon was called Simon the Zealot because every time he was on Facebook, he posted something about the government. Simon the Zealot. You guys got a friend like that on Facebook. But anyway, they all are unique, and he notes the uniqueness about them, and he knows their names, and so they're called. And so I shouldn't have skipped over verses 2 through 4. There's a reason that those names are there. It's because he knows your name. Now verses 5 and 6, we'll catch up now. These 12 Jesus sent out. It's from the Greek word apostolos. It's where we get the word apostle. The word apostle means one sent. It's in the verb form here, and he's saying, I'm sending you out. So I called you to myself. I've given you authority and power. Now I'm sending you out with the following instructions. That's a pretty important piece. Don't go among the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. Don't go there. Don't go there. Do go there. So you give them instructions. Now you got to listen to get the instructions. You could be like my eldest son Stephen was when he was a little boy. Firstborn, my son Stephen was a daddy's boy, wanted me to be pleased with him. And so I would be working on something in the house. I'd say, "Hey, Stephen, go to the garage and get me a Phillips." And he'd be gone before I could say Phillips head screwdriver. He was already running to the garage because he heard me say, "Go to the garage." He'd go run to the garage, he'd get in the garage, and it would hit him. "Why am I in the garage?" He'd come back with a hammer or something, you know. I'd say, "I asked for Phillips head screwdriver." He would take off running before he got the instructions. Now, you got to give it to the boy, which is what we used to call him, the boy. That was before Jonathan and Aaron came along, and he was the boy. You got to give it to him because he was quick to obey. He just didn't stick around for the instructions. He's grown up now, and but I got to say that I think all of us struggle with this a little bit, listening to the instructions. Because we're pretty good at going, "I'm in trouble, God help me," and we open up our hand, but then we start going, "I feel better now, I think I got this." And we just disengage. "I got this." Instead of listening for the instructions, like, "I got the go ahead, all right, good." Instead of, okay, so this idea of flow means, first of all, open, but then stay open. Not like, "Okay, I got this." Not like, Not like that, like this, like that. Constantly open so that you get the instructions. Now, one of the primary ways that God gives us instructions is this. He wrote a manual. It's in the glove box. Open up the glove box. It's the owner's manual to your life. He's the creator. He wrote an owner's manual. Here it is. And may I describe to you what's going on right now, at this moment. Here's what's going on right now. I have spent most of this past week chewing and munching and taking apart Matthew 10, verses 1 through 10, studying it in the original language, just and thinking about every kind of person in the room that I know and what they're going through, and asking the Holy Spirit to tell me what to say. And you might think after 22 years, because this month marks 22 years since we had seven people meeting in my living room when we first had this dream of a thing called Wilson Community Church. I still remember the whiteboard that we set up in my living room, and we said, what are we going to call it? Like, well, it's in Wilson, and we're trying to build a community of believers, and it's a church. It was a brilliant moment. Then we found out how much it would cost to put a sign on the front of the building when we first got here. Because I said, we want them to see the sign from the road. How tall? And we asked an expert, you know, if it's like 1,000-some feet. The letters would need to be 3 feet tall. And I said, well, how much is that going to cost per letter? And he told me, and I said, Wilson Community Church. How much for three letters? And that's how we got that. So here I am all week long, and I'm like, give it to me, give it to me, give it. And you know what's happening right now? It's not me. I'm just a conduit. I take no pride in this. In fact, I'm still, after 22 years, very intimidated, fearful that I would say something from me to you. Because I've said stuff from me to me before, and it didn't work out well. And I don't want to be responsible for that with you. And so everything I have that I'm trying my best to give you is just flowing through me. So it's just like, and if I don't give it to you and get this, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight, so you got to take this from me. Because I'm like pregnant with this stuff. I got to give birth to this. Some ladies are looking at me like, yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about now. It's okay, I don't either. I'm moving on. Instructions. Paraangelios. That's where we get the word angelios. It means angel. I'm giving you a message, and you will be messenger. First, you've got to get the message. You've got to get the instructions. And so for you to be able to do all this stuff, you've got to keep your mind open to my word. You've got to keep listening to me so that you're constantly listening. Jesus describes the way he lived when he was on this planet, the way he did what he did. It says Jesus gave them this answer in John 5:19. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. Here's what Jesus is saying. I just join the Father at his work. I just constantly am in constant communion with the Father, and I just do what he is doing. I just join him in whatever he's doing. I just let it flow all the time. I just do what he's doing, and that's what he's inviting us to do. So here's what that looks like when you're out living, when you're out in this world. You think you're in control, and you think, okay, I got plans for the day, I'm gonna do this, this, and then stuff happens that messes up your plans. Can I get a witness? Right? And then you get angry, frustrated, because it didn't go the way you planned the day. But what if Jesus was giving you new instructions and you weren't listening? What if he was like, slow down right here in the line at Walmart right here, because I want you to talk to this lady who's having trouble paying for her groceries. And I want you to help her. Instead of being mad because you need to switch lines because you got in the crazy long line and you're in a hurry, what if he put you there, and this is so frustrating to me when it happens, because I am so type A. I am so, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I'm going to be late for that if I do that. And I'm always right to the wire on everything because I always overschedule what I can do. I don't leave margin. And then I'll be there and I'll hear this problem and I'll feel the frustration. But because I've been a believer long enough to recognize the voice of the Spirit, He'll give me a picture of my wallet in my mind, like, you got a $20 bill in your wallet, don't you? I'll be like, yeah, but I don't have any change. That's all I got in there. I only got just that 20. Like, I'm feeling a 5, you know, but I don't have a 5. So there's other people in this line. And so then this thing happens. Is that you or is that me? Because sometimes I'll guilt myself. I'll be like, give her a 20. And that ain't you, Lord. That's me. Now I think, no, that wouldn't be me. I'd be giving her a 5 if it was me. That's got to be you telling her to give, because you know that's all I got in my wallet right now. He always knows what's in there, by the way. And so then, you do it. You give it to her. And then you pray for her, and then you talk to her, and then life starts looking like that, and you start getting quicker at it. So that whatever situation you're in, you're thinking it's some sort of an interruption about your plan, when in fact it's just fresh instructions. It's just, let's do this together. I actually wanted you to talk to this person. You know, I'm looking at a sister in the house right now who's been going through some health problems, and she ends up preaching to the nurses and the doctors while she's laying in the bed, you know, because she's open to fresh instructions. Your car breaks down, but it wasn't because of what you thought. It's because you're supposed to talk to the person who came in the wrecker to help you. You tracking with me? You keep it open because it's constantly giving you fresh instructions. Okay. This is what a life of flow looks like. And then here's the O. The first two letters are about this connection. Open it, keep it open. And here's the O. Open yourself to every opportunity to freely give. Now we're at verses 7 and 8. As you go. You see that in verse 7? As you go. The assumption is you're going somewhere. Where are you going? Going out to eat afterwards? Where are you going? Going to go see grandma after church? I don't know. Where are you going? Some of you are like, I am grandma. They're coming to my house. That's what's going on at my house. They're coming to my house to eat my groceries. Where are you going? As you go. You're going somewhere. Where are you going Monday? Are you going to work? Going to school? You taking your kids to school? Where are you going? So here's your marching orders. Okay, you're already going somewhere. As you go, okay, what else? Okay. Preach. Heal. Raise the dead. Cleanse the leper. Drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. All these action imperative command verbs. These aren't holy suggestions. These are command verbs. As you go, be the body of Christ to this world. Be what I am to them. Receive it from me, the calling, the authority, the power, the life, and let it flow like a river through you to them. Open yourself to every opportunity to flow to others. As you go, preach. I don't know about that word now. That's probably just for preachers. No, that's for disciples. You don't like the word preach? How about talk? How about say? How about speak? How about mention it? Talk about it. How about those words? Can you tolerate those? Here's what, tell people what? The kingdom of heaven is near. How near? Well, where is the kingdom of heaven, by the way? I mean, geographically speaking, where is it? I'll tell you where it is. You listening? It's wherever Christ is king. That's where the kingdom of heaven is. It's wherever Christ is king. Is he king of your life? Then the kingdom of heaven has come to you. Is Christ king? Is he Lord of your house? Then the kingdom of heaven is at your house. Is Christ king of this church? Then the kingdom of heaven is here. It is here, and it is near to that person you're talking to. How near is it? Well, if they could just take hold of that which you've taken hold of, that which I guess I should say has taken hold of you, then that's where the kingdom would be. It would be upon them. It's so close to you. And so preach it like that. Not like, you're such a sorry, horrible sinner, and you're so far away. Let me give you good news. Well, that don't sound good so far. Here's the good news. That close. Just open. Just answer. Just receive. Come on, just and tell people that. Can you do that? And you'll do it the way you do it. I'll do it the way I do, because I'm shaped a certain way. But you'll be God's representative to this world. And then heal the sick, raise the dead. And you're like, okay, I don't know about some of those, Gary. Some of those seem kind of hard. And I don't think I can do that. Well, you can't do any of these. Let me just go ahead and release you. You can't do any of this. But He can. And if you'll open up this to Him and let it flow, stuff happens. And they will scare you with their need. What do you mean, Gary? Oh, they're going to come at you with some stuff that you can't help them with. That's what I mean. And you're going to be like, I don't have your financial condition. I don't have enough. If I helped you, then I'd be in the same boat you're in. Well, I'm sick too. I know you're sick, but I guess we'll both be sick together. You got marriage problems? You should see what's going on at my... I mean, you know... So what happens is we don't want to see their trouble because we don't think we have enough. And so we close this hand and we pull back and we go, I'm barely keeping up with my mess, so I'm not even going to look at what's going on with you. And plus, that guy over there, that homeless guy, he's strange and he's talking about weird stuff. And some of y'all kind of freaking me out a little bit too, so I'm just not going to see it. You know, I'm thinking about that time when Peter and John walked up to the temple at the time of prayer and they saw the crippled man, and the scripture says that Peter looked right at him. People have been walking by him all day because you ignore people that got their hand out. If you make eye contact, then you got to help them, so don't look at. Peter looked right at him and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to thee." And he took him and pulled him up and healed him so he could walk. And so what Peter did was he goes, like that. You can look at people. You can give them freely what was given to you. You're right. You don't have enough. But you got Jesus. Give them that. And it'll be enough. And stuff will start happening. Miraculous stuff will start happening around you as you go. Give the gift you've been given. Galatians 6:10 says, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Every opportunity. And the more obedient you are, the more He trusts you with more opportunities. And it gets to be so much fun. I mean, I get sick of looking at my junk in the mirror anyway. I mean, don't you? Can I get a witness on that? Aren't you tired of your stuff? And so when you start helping others, this joy just, it's like the joy of Jesus just builds up in you so much that you're like, I don't really care about my junk anymore. I'm just so happy to have you using me for your glory and just experiencing that. And then guess what? Because it's flowing through you, it's working on you too, and things are, He's taking care of you too as you let it flow through you. Colossians 4:5, live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. Don't waste the opportunities. There's a young man in our church right now, and he met with me a couple of weeks ago for lunch, and he said something to me. I was asking him, hey, would you do this? Would you serve here? Would you give this? Because he was saying he wanted to grow. He said, my yes is on the table, Pastor. I went, all right then, what about this? And then a couple of weeks later, I called him and I said, what about that? He goes, my yes is on the table, Pastor. And he said yes to everything I've asked him. And I can see the Lord in his life, he's growing like unbelievable. He didn't say a conditional yes, which is what some of us are doing with the Lord. Yes, Lord, unless you ask me to do that, but I hope you don't, because you know I don't like doing that. So yes, everything except that. Conditional yes. Guilty of that one. 23 years ago, I said, all right, Lord, all right, I'm going to quit my job. I know you want me to go do this other thing that you called me to do when I was a teenager, and I'm going to go, okay, so I'm going to go to seminary, and I'm going to go to full-time Christian work. And if you could get my seminary application, if you could go over to the seminary and get it, I don't know if they kept it on file, but it has, you have to write in there your call to ministry as you perceive it. It's part of the package. And I typed in there, I don't think the Lord called me to be a pastor. And what I meant by that was, I do not want to be a pastor. Lord, I'll do anything but be a pastor. I didn't say that because that doesn't sound spiritual, so I didn't put that in there. I was trying to get in seminary. So I typed, I think he's called me to be a musical evangelist. Now, I don't know what that is. I'd never heard of it, but that's what I thought I could do. Because I had in my head, I'm going to travel around the world playing the guitar and telling people about Jesus and then leave them, let them work it out. I go play the guitar and sing, tell them about Jesus somewhere else. That was my plan. Lord, I'll do anything. Don't make me a pastor. Why did I say that? Well, I used to be a deacon at a previous church, and I saw how they treated the pastor there, and I didn't want to get treated that way. And look at where I am. Now, I must say that I've not been treated that way, thank the Lord, because this is a great people. This is a great church. Watch out about your conditional yeses. He might call you to the very thing that you conditionally said no to. Is your yes on the table? Are you open to every opportunity? Or have you closed this hand? Because let me tell you, it doesn't matter. You damn it up there or you damn it up there, you still end up with a similar situation where you interrupt the flow. You got to have both open. Psalm says, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. Okay, I'm skipping ahead. I got to get my W in, don't I? Calm down back there. I'm catching up. Got new tech people back there like, what did you just do? Let's get the W in first. Work without worrying about God's provision. Work without worrying about God's provision. This is the W. So the F and the L are about open it and keep it open. And then the O is about open it. And then the W is about keeping it open. Okay? You try. Open it, keep it open. That's the F and then the L. And the O is open it, and then the W is keep it open. Because here's what happens. Okay, Gary, I tried that. And the Lord used me, and I helped some people, but now I'm freaking out that I'm going to run out of stuff. I'm going to run out of... There's a lot of needy people out there. And I'm afraid that there won't be enough, and I better keep some for me. And you start worrying that there won't be enough, and there won't be enough provision. So look at verses 9 and 10. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. So Jesus sent them out there completely dependent upon God's provision. He sent them out there, and here's what he said. I've called you, and I'll meet your needs as you obey. As you give it out, more will come in. I could go all through Scripture and show you this. The widow who fed the prophet Elijah, and as she gave it out, more came in. It's all through Scripture. It says, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about it. Just do the work. Just give it out, and I'll provide for you. But here's the problem that we have is we start worrying about how it's going on in here, and then we close that down. And then no more can come in because no more is going out. He says, the worker is worth his keep. In other words, the one who's doing my work is worthy of God's provision. I will keep flowing to you as you need it to meet those things. Now I can go to Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Put Him first. He'll take care of you. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking. He says, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Put what I've called you to first, because the one who calls is also able to provide. Don't worry, you're going to run out. Keep that hand open, and keep that hand open, and He'll provide for you. Now I want to give you a quick geography lesson as we close. You ready? This is from my summer trip to Israel. And I want to talk to you about two bodies of water that are found in Israel. Here's the first one. It's fed by the Jordan River. So let me look at this first picture. This is me standing at the headwaters of the Jordan River. And actually, this is one of the streams. There's several streams coming down from Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon's up there. I couldn't see it for the vegetation, so I couldn't get a good picture of it. But it has snow-capped peaks that form in the winter and then melt all summer long and continuously supply these little rivulets that come down that form the Jordan River. All this snow melts, and it forms the Jordan River. Go to the next slide. And so the Jordan River, I wish you could hear it right here. It's at the beginning of it, and everything's green and lush, and it's just, I mean, it's just flowing so hard. And so now the Jordan River is the primary river that feeds the Sea of Galilee. Next slide. So the Sea of Galilee, Robin and I were on the Sea of Galilee this summer. You see the Sea of Galilee right here. In the background is the place where Jesus fed the 5,000, and also the town of Capernaum. It's right there in the background. That's where we were headed on the boat just now. Next slide. This is the Sea of Galilee in the morning. This is the Golan Heights. This had been the area that would have been called the Decapolis back during the times of the Bible. When Jesus went ashore there, a demoniac come running up on him from that was living in the tombs, and he healed him. That's that shore right there. That's the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, it's the lowest freshwater lake on planet Earth. When I say lowest, I mean it's below sea level. So geographically, it's the lowest freshwater, and it's the second lowest of any body of water, and the lowest is also in Israel, the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. I thought it would be bigger. I was actually a little disappointed. I was like, I can see the other side. I didn't know I could see the other side, because it provides so much in Scripture, and even to this day, it's supplies 99.9% of the fresh water needs for Israel as a state, and for much of the fresh water needs for the country of Jordan. 106 billion gallons of water a year come out of that lake, and it maintains its level because of that one river Jordan that flows in. 300 tons of fish are caught in this river annually. The Sea of Galilee is alive and beautiful. And let's go to the next slide. And it flows. The little rivulets come down from the mountains, primarily Mount Hermon, and it comes down in the River Jordan. And it forms this freshwater lake, which feeds everything all over the country. And then it flows out. The River of Jordan flows into another body of water called the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is about 10 times or even more bigger than the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 149 feet deep, but the Dead Sea is 1,040 feet deep. It's twice or three times longer and wider. It's bigger in every way, but it has one important missing feature. Do you see it? There's no outlet. It's just like the Sea of Galilee, except bigger. It's got more of everything, but no outlet. And therefore, it's called the Dead Sea. It's the lowest place on planet Earth. Here's the Atlantic Ocean, the Mediterranean Sea. Here's the sea level, and here's the level of the Dead Sea, 1,000 feet below sea level at its top. And then it goes another 1,000 feet deep of salty water, the saltiest water on the planet. It's so salty, it's 10 times more salty than the ocean. There are no life forms in there. You can't drink it. Look at this next slide. This is what the land looks like as you approach 3 miles to the Dead Sea. You can see the Dead Sea right there, almost there. Go to the next slide. Nothing but desert. As you go down from the Sea of Galilee, about 85, 86 degrees in July, August. And as you go down, 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 110, 115, 120 degrees. Everything around there is dead. Which one do you want to be? Sea of Galilee? The Jordan River is flowing your way, man. Or the Dead Sea? Which one are you? Which one do you want to be? Are you ready to let it flow? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, there are people here that first of all just need to open up to the Jordan River. They need to open up to you. Just open up their head and their heart and all that they are and say, Jesus, I believe in you. Come into me. You said if I'm thirsty and if I believe in you, that you'd come in and rivers of water would flow out of me. So I believe in you today. Forgive me my sin. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to answer the call. Others are here today and you've done that. But your life isn't marked by the abundance and the satisfaction of the Sea of Galilee. Your life looks more like a desert right now because you're open to the Lord somewhat, but you're not open to give out what He's putting in. Would you confess that right now to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been afraid, or I've been trying to be in control, but I want to be more of a servant. I want to give out of the three things that you've given me, my time, my talent, my treasure. I want to be a generous giver in all those places. Lord, forgive me, and I want to start letting it flow in my life. And we pray all this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.